Well, good evening and a very warm welcome, one and all, to Dr. Rock's radio show here on peoplesinternetradio.com. Having a bit of a choppy time with the stream here. I seem to have a little bit of a problem with my connection tonight. Hopefully it's going to hold up. So you got a double dose of Georgia Satellites there. That was Keep Your Hands to Yourself. Before that, you probably got interrupted whilst listening to Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush playing Bottom of the Barrel, which is where all the people that are writing the manifestos are, I reckon. Before that, Georgia Satellites doing a Beatles cover, Don't Pass Me By. And before that, Ted Nugent, who I've been refreshing my memory of, and a fabulous track called Turn It Up. Well, it's not only the connection that's been a bit uncertain during the day, I've had a bit of fun setting up for tonight's show generally. It's my hope to be looking a little bit at MMS, because, as many of you will know, my main means of keeping myself healthy, in fact almost exclusively in recent years, has been using complementary medicine and a whole series of alternative practitioners of one sort or another, and they've really done a grand job for me, I must admit, a much better job than was being done in my early years by the doctors, with whom I never really had a lot of luck. And I've been kind of investigating MMS for a while. I did have a go at it some while back, didn't find it too bad to take, seemed to be doing me some good. It's mostly after using it to try and keep hold of what few teeth I've got left. Hopefully, if all goes according to plan, I will be having another go at that. And one of the things that made me want to have a look at it really was a hit piece I saw done on it by the BBC The One Show, which was pretty severe, but not too bad, in that it was pretty short and not tongue-in-cheek exactly, but they didn't seem to really want to do a very detailed job. However, today I watched one that was broadcast recently by RTE, which really seriously put the boot into it. I've also realised that there's an individual over in America who appears, I think, now to be up in court for selling MMS, and certainly it's Jim Humble's opinion that it's not just the man that's on trial, but the product itself. And his feeling is that if this man that's currently been having the forces of law and order visited upon him does not succeed in fighting the case, then everybody who's got anything to do with it is likely to be in a little bit of trouble. And it seemed to me that this was really not hi there Cotty, was really not likely to be helpful. And over the years since I started using all of these different modalities for keeping myself healthy, they have slowly but surely become more and more difficult to get as Codex Alimentarius swings into action, and one by one, bit by bit, things seem to be disappearing off the shelves and getting to the point where some of them anyway you can only get on the internet, which is a bit of a problem for those of us that can't actually shop on the net. And what I'd actually like, hopefully later in the show I'll be joined by Jimmy Hagen and by Laurie to have a bit of a chat about their experience and knowledge in this field. But I want to kick off with what I think is the strongest little pod that I've found on the subject of MMS. It was posted some time ago. I think it was sometime in, I did have a note of this somewhere, everything's, yeah, posted in 1st of July 2013 on a channel called MMS Testimonials on YouTube. And it's entitled Proof That the Red Cross Cured 154 Malaria Cases with MMS, which is, of course, I think, where it all started off for Jim Humble. He discovered when he was out in the jungle that they had a means of curing malaria, and it was his subsequent investigation of that and his development of it which led to the MMS that we know today. So I'm going to play that now. That's about a little bit over 15 minute pod. But very good it is too. I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed finding it. I'm always a little bit behind on these things, but here it is, and I'll be back with you in 15 minutes or so.
Hi, I'm Jim Humble. In the late 90s, in the jungle of Guyana, South America, I discovered a cure for malaria, a disease that now kills about 1.2 million people a year. Since then, I've diligently worked to get this discovery, which I call MMS, into the mainstream. It appears there are those who would rather I and my discovery go away. I won't bother you with the details. They're in my books and all over the internet already. In late 2012, Leo Kohoff, one of my associates, along with the Uganda Red Cross, the International Red Cross, and the Water Reference Center, came together to perform a test to once and for all determine if MMS really works, something I and others have proven many times over. 154 malaria victims were treated and easily cured, to the surprise of the Red Cross staff. Then, to our surprise, the Red Cross dragged their feet for months, refusing to announce the results. Finally, when we pushed the issue, they came out with a public statement saying they strongly dissociate themselves from the claim of a miracle solution to defeat malaria. Furthermore, they claim they were never involved in any clinical trials. There were three different people from around the world who documented the test by video, not including the actual medical documents the Red Cross generated. One was our man Leo, who released his video recently. Then there was a local Ugandan video guy and another, I believe, from Holland. The other day, we were informed that the guy from Uganda had completed a video that unquestionably documents that the test really happened. This video has been sitting on YouTube, unlisted, since January this year. I now invite you to watch this revealing video that proves MMS, which is sodium chloride plus an activator, cures malaria. A video of a test that supposedly never happened. When you're done watching, I would like to ask you for one small favor. Please let your friends and family know about this secret that the Red Cross apparently doesn't want anyone to know. Just post a link to this video on your Facebook or wherever you wish and help spread the word. Thanks for listening. Here's the video.
Water is a universal fundamental right. It does not belong to the one who makes it, it belongs to the one who needs it. We're on our way to Iganga, the village about 3 hours drive east of Kampala. We are here the guest of the Ugandese Red Cross, and the aim of the mission is to look at the side effects that a certain way of purifying water has on the blood of certain patients.
The mosquitoes like such dark and cool places.
Yeah.
And now they become habitat. So at the end of the world, we have so many cases of malaria in this area. So that's why you saw that out of every 50 cases you test, almost half are malaria positive.
My name is Klaas Proesmans. I'm the CEO and founder of the Water Reference Center, affiliated with the International Federation of Red Crosses and Red Crescents. My career started with the Belgian Special Forces and as a career with General Aviation, which is private jets, followed by a career as Director of Operations with Virgin Airlines. Now, why do I mention this? Because my career was always about getting high results under a lot of pressure with very few tools. It's always been like that with special forces, it's been like that in the airline business, it is like that with humanitarian operations. We came across a number of interesting technologies, always in the field of water, health, energy. We came across one of those purifying systems that already exists since probably over 100 years. And it's a purifying system based upon sodium chloride. And the first records of use of this sodium chloride was actually in Flanders, like maybe 20 kilometers from my hometown in Ostend, where we have a spa. And in that spa, before the First World War, 1914, 1918, they were able to help people with skin diseases, small infections, always with the use of sodium chloride. It has been said and written that the use of sodium chloride cleans the body within 1 hour to 4 hours of the malaria parasite. And that was too good to be true, not to go further into an investigation. Through our network, since we are affiliated with the International Red Cross, we contacted a number of national societies where malaria is present. One of them was Uganda. We contacted the National Society Secretary General. We explained what the intentions were. And we came over here just to look at the field, what different steps one need to make in order to do this kind of test, a pilot case. We visited the National Drug Agency, the Ministry of Health, all the people that have something to do with public health and the purifying of water. We identified a village. Actually, it is the National Society who identified a village. We had nothing to do with it. They chose Iganga. It has been chosen by the Red Cross National Society for two reasons. One, because the national authorities use sodium chloride as a way to purify water, which is exactly the same way as our water reference center purifies water. Second reason is because they do have ongoing water and sanitation programs in that area, which is very convenient to the water reference center. Because what we actually want to do in this month of December is look at the effect that sodium chloride has on the human body after being offered a glass of water. We started with mobilizing the local population. We had the use or the cooperation of the National Society. Lots of volunteers went on their bikes, bicycles, cars, motorbikes, whatever you have, all around the streets. The first day of operation, we gathered about 163 patients from all the villages around, and we identified only 5 malaria-positive people. Oh, she comes from far away?
Yeah, she comes from far away.
We do a little blood test, just a little prick, and then we do a quick strip malaria test. The positive ones are being sent to the lab for a thoroughly under the microscope test. And those ones are being offered one glass of purified water, the same way as the national authorities make it. And then we ask them to come back the next day for double check. The next day, early in the morning, I think when we arrived at the hospital that we identified, there must have been like 200 fresh new patients already, together with the 5 from the previous day. From the 5 from the previous day, 4 were identified malaria negative. 1 still had malaria parasites, and that's probably a personal matter because this guy, his name was Isaac, was in such a bad shape that I said, just give him the half dose. Isaac was given a full dosage. He came back the next day, being the 17th of December. Well enough, also Isaac was cleared of malaria.
We have some test results, and the most amazing test results are coming from the prison here in Dukana. And so yesterday we did some blood proofs in the prisoner, and all of them were positive. And now we did a second blood test, and all of them shows negative. So you can see that's a very amazing result, because there's only 24 hours between it.
So all of them were positive yesterday? Now they are negative.
So these are the tests.
Every other day we had around 150 to maybe 200 patients every single day. In total we identified 154 malaria positive patients together with the local health authorities and the doctors. All of them were treated. All of them were between 24 hours and 48 hours malaria negative, without any side effects.
I'm so much impressed by this water. It's so unbelievable. From a layman's view, you may think it's impossible, but it's very possible. I've seen people healed, looked at their results from yesterday, and seeing the results of today after taking the water. It's super impressive.
Those ones who are positive and they are on treatment, they are getting better. If we continued with the DC exercise, helping the needy in this way, we shall decrease malaria. But these ones now, the few who have come and they are positive, and we are testing them for the second time, we see that the malaria parasites are decreasing, and some of them, they are not detected at all after taking the water. So if we went ahead with this program, I think it would help our district.
Very many people were found with malaria, but after giving them the treatment, all of them, they have no parasite of malaria.
With the water part of it as a treatment, it is okay, because it does not need so highly trained personnel. Someone who can be just briefed within a few minutes can try to measure the chemical.
I'm excited because of the instant results that are happening among all the people that we have so far tested. It is incredibly unbelievable to see that somebody tested of malaria positive yesterday turns up to be negative today and feels quite extremely better and more happy and healthier. So to me, this is a very good partnership, and I feel that if there is opportunity to increase this to these communities, it will be so much of great impact and beneficial towards the health of these people.
You're not eating well. She says the kid is feeling very well, but only he has lost some appetite. He's not eating well.
We close the operation. Well enough. We will go back in January because we need to secure contingency. But we close the operation to report back to the Secretary General here in Ugandese Red Cross Society, and to report back to the Water Reference Center about the results of the sphere test. Now, all in all, 100% cured people, less than 5 days, all within 24 hours to 48 hours. That asks for further investigation.
When I published my video of the Red Cross MMS malaria test on YouTube in May 2013, I was totally surprised by the comments I received. The doctors suggested the video was fake and wanted more detailed information. At the same time, the Red Cross distanced itself and even went so far as to say it never happened. This misinformation was put out by Klaas Brusman himself, the one who initiated the test in the first place. He even suggested that the people wearing Red Cross t-shirts just happened to come by to see what was going on and had nothing to do with the test. Since December 2012, when the malaria test was conducted, and today, June 29, 2013, we estimate that over 1 million children have suffered and died from malaria based on yearly World Health Organization statistics. That's about one child dying every minute. It is clear from the statements by the Red Cross staff in the video. They are very happy to have found something that works so well against malaria, so they can reduce the suffering in the area. Today, the Red Cross has done nothing with the results, except, of course, to hide the truth and tell lies. This is equivalent to genocide. I is the one who showed the Red Cross staff how to use MMS, cannot allow this to quietly continue. I need to remind the Red Cross and all other humanitarian agencies of their responsibilities. It is one thing to have fear of losing one's job, but when we contrast that to the millions of lives lost each year to malaria, it is time they stopped being cowardly and step into the light of truth.
Well, there we go. I think that was a pretty remarkable vid myself. I was, hang on, what's going on now? Bloody machine's taking over. Stop that. Right. Okay, yes, I think that was a pretty remarkable video, really, because there's so much controversy about MMS. Some of it really quite vituperative. Some people really are sticking the boot in, like I said. And that one, to me, really showed that at least at base, there's definitely something in it. And it has been recognised by certain of the international organisations, shall we call them. Well, I'm just fiddling about with my screen here so that I can see everything that's going on. You'll be lucky, mate. There you go. So, the video was actually made by the people involved were the Uganda Red Cross, the International Red Cross, and a bunch called the Water Reference Centre. Numerous of the people in it were wearing Red Cross t-shirts, quite a lot of them. It was later suggested that they just happened to be people that were passing by, but they all got out the same minibus and were prepared to be on camera making comments. Klaas Prusmans, the ex-Special Forces guy who was doing quite a lot of the narration there, he works for the Water Reference Centre, and as he said, it was affiliated with the International Red Cross and the Red Crescents. And he was the one who said that there was a purifying system that has existed for probably over 100 years, and that's a figure I've heard quoted elsewhere as well. It's based on sodium chloride, he said, and the first records of its use were in Flanders, where there was actually a spa that presumably had this stuff in it. And in spas, it is traditional for people to either bathe in the water or drink it, and quite often both. I know that was the case in Llandrindod Wells, which is a place that I hang out quite a lot. They don't tend to do that anymore because they found that the water was full of lead, probably not good for you. And apparently, before World War I, they helped people with skin diseases, with minor infections. And it was said, even then apparently, that sodium chloride cleans the body of malaria parasites within 1 to 4 hours. And as we heard him say, that was regarded as being too good to be true and not to be investigated any further. Now, I personally feel that that's the way Jim Humble's stuff is being treated. Jim himself says that over 5 million people have tried MMS. It seems to be pretty popular across Facebook and across numerous internet websites now, including the Natural News. Quite a lot of other places where I've previously found very good information seem to be backing Mr. Humble. And I'm assuming, at least until there's any actual positive evidence to the contrary, that this is because people are finding it to be useful. Now, we do know that orthodoxy really does like to have peer-reviewed studies and experts and all that kind of stuff, and it tends to regard anecdotal information as being invalid because it hasn't been seen through the laboratory. Well, personally, I tend to trust people who've seen things with their own eyes and experienced them. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in people's bodies. We are all very different. People have all got different ways of healing themselves, sometimes involving no medicines at all, sometimes involving placebos, sometimes just involving meditation and their own thought processes. The most amazing things can happen. And it seems to me, at least, that this is likely to be what's going on with MMS. I know some people personally have had some very, very good results with it. But then, you know, I know people who've managed to cure their own cancers by just slipping onto a water diet and just refusing to eat any food until eventually they've sorted themselves out. And I've seen it happen. So, but anyway, in this case, they had something which was curing, was helping clear up skin diseases and small infections, and was rumoured to be able to see to malaria in kind of, you know, less than half a day. But they decided not to investigate it, presumably just in case it turned out to be true. Hey, maybe that's just me being a bit cynical. And interestingly, they went to Uganda, they went to a place called Iganga, and in this particular place, apparently the national authorities are using sodium chloride as a means of purifying water. And according to Klaas Brosmans, they're using it exactly the same way as the Water Reference Centre purifies water. And this is exactly the same way as Jim Humble's MMS works as well. So they've got a national authority, and I'm not quite sure who the Water Reference Centre is. I suppose I should have looked that up, really. Are also using it as a way of cleaning up water, so that presumably the idea was that when people drank the water in these places, they didn't actually contract malaria in the first place. I think it clearly came as a bit of a surprise when they found that far from just preventing people getting this disease, it was able to take people who've got it and make sure they didn't have it anymore. Really quite miraculous. And this particular investigation was looking specifically at the effect that this has on the human body. So they were looking, I guess, to make sure that it wasn't, that it was doing some good, and that it specifically wasn't doing any harm. One of the guys from the Red Cross who was introducing the subject said that in that particular part of the world, and I think that in some places the percentage is a bit higher, but in that particular part of the world, out of every 50 cases that are tested, 50 people that is, almost half turn out to be positive for malaria, 50%. But in Iganga, where they went to try and do this, out of 163 patients that they investigated on the first day, only 5 of them turned out to be malaria positive, which does suggest that the national authorities' use of sodium chloride is doing some good. I guess on those figures you would have expected something like 80-odd of those people, not 5 of them, to have had malaria. So anyway, they gave these 5 people that they managed to detect on the first day their water solution, their MMS solution, or whatever they call it over there, the sodium chloride solution. And by the very next day, 4 of these people were then testing negative for malaria. The 5th one was apparently in a bit of a more serious state, and so he was given a slightly weaker dose on the first day. They gave him a second cup when he came back, and he too was clear by the following day. So those first 5 people, they cleared up fully. And eventually, over several days, they had hundreds of people turning up, and they tested them all and gave them all the glass of water. And eventually, they managed to clear up 154 malaria-positive patients. They were all treated, and they were all malaria-negative within 48 hours. No side effects. Really, more than remarkable. As I said at the beginning of that video, something like 1.2 million people a year die of this particular difficulty. And so to have 100% clear-up rate in 48 hours, that does suggest that we're looking at something pretty remarkable. And it certainly suggests to me that it's something that should be looked at harder, rather than simply being slagged off and possibly, I would imagine, just propagandised against. They had Hannington Segarinya on. He's the former Uganda Red Cross Youth Council president. He said, "I'm so much impressed by this water. It's so unbelievable. From a layman's view, you might think it's impossible, but it's well possible. I've seen people healed. I've seen the results of yesterday and the results of today after taking the water. It is super impressive." And of course, one of the gentlemen there pointed out that it's especially useful in that neck of the woods because there's no need of highly trained personnel, just someone who can be briefed in a few minutes as to how to make the mixture up correctly to give to people, and Bob's your uncle, as they say. So no need for highly trained personnel. I think there might be a bit of a clue there, because there's not a lot of money in handing out cures that don't really need trained people or complex pieces of machinery or expensive pharmaceuticals. I think we can quite see, can we not, how such a thing might well turn out to be not too popular amongst the powers that be. Vincent Okonero is the senior branch manager of the Uganda Red Cross in Iganga, and he was the one who we heard saying, "I'm excited because of the instant results that are happening among all the people that we have so far tested. It is unbelievable to see that people tested positive yesterday turn out to be negative today. This is a very good partnership, and I feel that if there is an opportunity to increase this to this community, it would be beneficial towards the health of these people." So that's your senior branch manager actually on the screen telling you that it's an amazing thing, and that he can see that it's going to be that it could be really helpful in that particular area. 100% cured people, less than 5 days, all within 24 to 48 hours. That asks for further investigation. That was what Klaas Prosman said at the end, the guy that we heard introducing the whole thing. And the closing comments were from Leo Kurf, who was an ortho videographer. He was the guy who made the video. And he was the MMS trainer to the Red Cross staff. And he was obviously deeply disappointed in the way all of that turned out. And, of course, it was Klaas Prosman, the 100% cured people, less than 5 days, all within 24 to 48 hours, that asked for further investigation, who backed off and even in the end said that the investigation never happened. And that was your man from the Water Reference Centre. So for some reason or another, everybody chose to walk away from this. And I think that's one of the reasons why I decided to play that little podcast, really, because I think it is a link that's worth spreading, because it shines a light on all sorts of things, really. It shows that there are some pretty amazing things out there in terms of us being able to heal ourselves. I think it definitely throws a rather interesting light on the Red Cross, who are, after all, supposedly out there endeavouring to help populations, although I read recently that they were originally invented in order to make sure that morphine could be got pretty efficiently onto battlefields. I think that's why they originally were started. Now, like I say, I know several people who've had pretty spectacular results with MMS. The results with malaria are obviously just what they say they are. They're results with malaria. But it would appear, without the evidence of Jim Humble and without the evidence of that video before us, it would appear to be an absolutely outrageous claim that you could clear up something that's killing 1.2 million people with simply a glass of water, and that a few hours later they would be well. That, on the face of it, would appear to be a completely bizarre and outrageous claim. But clearly there is something in that. Now, one of the things about this particular, about malaria, is that it is a parasite, that it's something that invades the body and it needs to be disposed of. Now, there's quite a lot of things that humans get that involve parasites. It's also especially possible for the human immune system to become pretty much depressed as a result of the activity of such beasties. There's many other things that we can get in our systems as well that make it very difficult for us to keep ourselves well. And I believe that Jim Humble is simply claiming that what MMS does is it enables the immune system to do its job properly, which is why when he claims in other places that he's treated many people with AIDS and had a similar success rate, that of course is I've been told, I'm not sure, because you can't believe more or less anything you're told nowadays, can you, a disease of the immune system. But if it does work like a kind of an internal cleansing agent, if it does get rid of all sorts of parasites that are feeding on the system, I'm told that it can also get rid of heavy metals and various other things, such that the immune system can start doing its job properly, then it becomes not too difficult to believe that it might have spectacular effects with some people in other cases as well. I had a quick look at what sodium chloride is. We'll hear what they call it in the hit pieces in a moment. I'm not actually going to play those because you'd really all have to have belts to chew on, I'm sure. You're used to hearing such things said, but they really made me pretty angry, I must admit, but I might work my way through to quoting a little bit of what they say. But what I found was on a website called livestrong.com, And it echoes items that I've found in books as well, that sodium chloride is a salt-based chemical that also features the element of chlorine, has several practical uses, and is very similar to sodium chlorate, which is a common food additive. Most people interact with sodium chlorite frequently, but do not realise it, basically because the chemical's rarely interacted with in large portions. Which I think is pretty much the same with MMS, although, again, the hit piece is making different claims. I seem to remember that the number of drops you're expected to take is really very small indeed. While not dangerous in small amounts, according to this Livestrong article, large doses of sodium chloride can be dangerous. They say that, according to Health Science Spirit, sodium chloride has widespread applications in agriculture. It can be combined with citric acid, which, of course, is exactly what happens with the MMS preparation, which helps acidify it, and applied to food products as an antimicrobial treatment. This treatment can apparently be used on meats, poultry, fish, fruits and vegetables, presumably as was being used in Uganda to get rid of parasites. It can be applied in food and water treatments to kill various microbials and parasites without eliminating healthy bacteria needed by our digestive system. So this guy is obviously pretty happy about people taking it internally, and is also suggesting that it does exactly what Jim Humble says it does, which is kills various microbials and parasites that are not good for us, whilst leaving all the healthy stuff in there, because of course our digestive system, in fact we are practically a walking zoo, we are absolutely full of microbes and enzymes and parasites of one sort or another. Quite a lot of them are beneficial and we would not be able to function without them, but at least according to this article, this stuff can actually get rid of the bad stuff whilst leaving the good stuff intact. There are, of course, that's a little different from your antibiotics that dispose of the good and the bad alike, just basically kill everything that's in there, such that you need to take probiotics, something like kombucha or one of these other living yeast-type products, in order to keep your gut healthy whilst you're taking the antibiotics. They also say, according to Health Science Spirit, sodium chloride may be an effective treatment for toothaches, which is one of the things I'm particularly after. Actually, what I'd really like to see it do is, as I've seen claimed in one of my favourite books, The Timeless Secrets of Age and Rejuvenation, of Health and Rejuvenation, he recommends MMS, so it can't be all bad, and he says that it's possible for loose teeth, of which I have a few left, to become once again firm in the gums, and then eventually for the gums to start growing again. So I'm quite interested in it for that application. And apparently it can also turn some heavy metals soluble, making it easier for them to be expelled from the body. Now that again would be an extremely useful thing to us to be doing, because we are, I gather, nowadays taking on quite a lot of these sort of things one way and the other, out of the air and out of our food and from various other sources, and it's important to be able to keep moving them through the system. One of the benefits it's claimed of its internal treatment is that it does not react badly with organic matter, including our food and our own bodies. And then they emphasise again, while sodium chloride is safe in low dosages, it can be harmful to your health if consumed in dosages larger than, they say, half a teaspoon. So, by and large, at least according to the sources that I read and the people that I talk to, we have something that really is potentially quite useful. But this is not at all how it's regarded by the BBC, or as it happens by RTE. I'll just stick the link into the chat box here, so that anybody who wants to go and have a look at it and be pretty much, I'm sure you'll be as annoyed by it as I was. The thing is that I suppose we've spent so much time spotting the propaganda and the false history and all that sort of stuff that you kind of get used to it. But it is amazing, they're so intense, these pieces of work. This one especially, the RTE primetime one, was really pretty intense. It contains lots and lots of techniques that we'd recognise to do with neuro-linguistic programming and telling us what to think, and basically giving us an idea without appearing to give us the evidence, whilst not actually talking to any people who might have been made sick by this. More to the point, they don't talk to any of the people who might have been made well. Anybody who's listening to the podcast or is listening outside the chat box, excuse me a moment. Oh dear, feeling a bit ropey this evening, sorry if my voice is sounding a bit rough. Anybody who's listening on the podcast or listening outside the chat box can find the RTE hit piece by typing in RTE prime time on MMS into whatever search engine you happen to be using, and that should take you to the relevant YouTube. It's about 35 minutes long. It was put on YouTube on a channel called MMS Fraud, whereas, of course, the last one I played was put on YouTube by people called MMS Testimonials, which just goes to show one of the main reasons for the internet being there is to sow a good deal of confusion, as I've said before, and I'm sure I will never tire of saying, for every expert, there is an equal and opposite expert. And in this particular RTE show, they kick off with the typical, television approach. You can almost hear her voice on the internet and in Ireland. And she's talking about the Genesis 2 church, they push an industrial bleach potion as a cure-all. They even claim they can cure autism. Since last year, they've targeted Ireland. They've attracted strange bedfellows, the desperate, the disaffected, but a small number of health professionals too. I gather those health professionals are now themselves under investigation. But there you go, there's the instant assumption there that they're attracting the desperate, the disaffected, and a small number of health professionals. There doesn't appear to be any attempt to talk to any of these peoples to see, of course, if any of it is in fact true, or whether there are any surprising results being experienced by individuals, as we've heard were experienced by large numbers of people in Uganda. And, you know, without actually talking to people, who knows? You know, there's not a lot of point in taking a sample of the stuff that the various independent suppliers are putting out there and taking it down to your local analysis place and getting them to look at what it is and tell you what's going to happen, especially when these kind of people are responsible for us having fluoride and chlorine and Lord knows what else put into our water in the first place. As I said, Jim Humble says that 5 million people have worked with him with MMS. And certainly from what I've read of his protocols, it looks to me like he's put a bit more work into the protocols than these journalists did in actually tracking down real people to talk to about the message it is that they're trying to put across. As far as I can see, it's a simple fact that it's bleach that is the basis for their concern. I wonder if they even knew that it clears malaria in less than 24 hours, actually. I wonder if they even knew that. Well, I guess I further wonder that if they did, I wonder if they'd care to mention it on the show. Of course, because Genesis 2 is a church, they get a chance to refer to it as a cult. But of course, it was more or less forced into becoming a church, as far as I gather, because Jim came up with this stuff. He wanted to bring it to the world. He wanted to try and help people. That seems to me to be genuinely his aim. I don't see him trying to make millions of dollars out of it, unlike some other people in the medical industry, eh? And because of the reaction of the authorities, it has been made illegal to sell it, just like it's illegal to talk about alternative means of dealing with cancer, of course, in various countries in the world. And as such, the only way they could find to continue to make this stuff available was to form a church, which means that they have to be reverends and bishops and all that kind of stuff, which enables the people who are doing the hit pieces to call them a cult. In fact, at one stage they go a little bit, a little bit off the topic here, to bring us round to the fact that Jim Humble is an ex-Scientologist, and I think that ex-Scientologist is probably the best one to be, because that, again, looks like a pretty weird thing. But they point out that, the head of this cult believes that he's an alien and he came to Earth in the Space Army or whatever. But, of course, as has been pointed out before, the word cult and the word culture have got pretty similar roots, and a culture is simply a cult with a lot of people in it. After all, it's very easy, isn't it, to take the piss out of somebody because he believes in our alien ancestry or something like that, whilst failing to acknowledge that there are many people in our culture who believe that everybody's problems were sorted out by a guy being nailed to a tree a couple of thousand years ago, which of course is perfectly possible, and everybody is entitled to believe what they want to believe, just as Jim is. It's just that I don't think that this sort of thing should be being used as a spanner with which to beat people, especially when it's not actually got anything to do with the subject that you're particularly dealing with. Really, their language is just so full of stuff that inside, because they go to a seminar in Moon in County Kildare. They are, of course, undercover, not making any attempt to get kind of clear interviews above ground with people. And in order to get in there, they have to say that they're there as private individuals and not as part of an organisation or a government agency, which is, again, something that I guess these people have to do because of the situation they find themselves in. And they say, inside, we entered a twilight zone where for 8 hours we were blinded by pseudoscience. The main ingredient of MMS, they said, is sodium chlorite, an industrial bleach and disinfectant, oxidising, corrosive and hazardous. Unless you've got malaria, I suppose. And that's how they describe it. Industrial bleach, disinfectant, oxidising, corrosive and hazardous, which is a good sight less balanced than the little bit I read about sodium chloride earlier on, just a few minutes ago. And then she says, and I really like this, she says, not to be confused with sodium chloride, which is salt. Now, for a start off, that's your basic television kind of just so patronising. It's one of the reasons I'm so glad that I don't watch it, really. I mean, occasionally you get to see these things on YouTube, but they do tend to get me riled just because of their approach. I mean, even before I start getting to the content, tell you the truth, not to be confused with sodium chloride, which is salt. Well, you know, as it happens, I don't think she's done her research there either, really, because I guess as a bit of an aside, I've already mentioned Andreas Moritz's Timeless Secrets of Health and Rejuvenation. Since I've been practicing staying away from general practice, that has been one of the two books that really has served to keep me well, I believe, the other one being Healing with Whole Foods. There are also books that I know have been used by other friends of mine to really sort themselves out from some very, very serious illnesses indeed, including cancer. I do know people who have contracted cancer or whatever the word is for that, and they've been and had the operation and chosen to avoid the chemo or the radiotherapy and instead have gone for these various diets and other modalities, and it has worked for them. I can think of three or four people. Anyway, Andreas Moritz has got something very interesting to say about table salt, which I'm sure the people who produce this program think is completely innocent. And hang on a moment, I've got it down here somewhere. Yeah, there it is. What Moritz says, he says to make, because you'll all have heard Darko and various other people on people's internet radio recommending that the only salt we should be going for is sea salt, also known as Celtic salt. It's kind of grey and damp, and it doesn't lose its dampness, which makes it a bit inconvenient for users. But what Moritz says, he says to make salt resist the reabsorption of moisture and thereby be more convenient to the consumer. It's all about convenience, guys. Salt manufacturers add chemicals such as desiccants as well as different bleaches. So I'm sure these people would be appalled. My God, they're putting bleach in your salt, guys. And they add this stuff to the final salt formula. After undergoing processing, the salt can no longer blend or combine with human body fluids, which, of course, is a pretty crucial aspect of salt. It's most important to the way our fluids work, the way our electrical systems work. This, he says, invariably undermines the most basic chemical and metabolic processes in the body. Water retention and kidney and blood pressure problems are the most obvious of refined salt consumption, which I find pretty amusing because those are amongst the things that they blame MMS, or at least these people who are analysing it. They haven't actually looked at any people to see that that's what's going on, but they assume that that's what will happen from the results of their investigations. Water retention, kidney and blood pressure problems are the most obvious serious of refined salt consumption. Refined salt is still added to thousands of different manufactured foods. Some 50% of American population suffers from water retention, which is the leading cause of weight gain and obesity. The consumption of large amounts of refined salt, Moritz says, is much to blame for that. So why don't you do a hit piece on salt, guys, or indeed sugar, or indeed any of all the wheat, for God's sake. I mean, there are many, many more things out there that are causing a lot more damage to a lot more people. So, as I said, Moritz recommends unrefined sea salt, Celtic salt. Interestingly, he also finds cause to recommend some of Jim Humble's MMS protocols. And I gather, I think he also recommends his ebook on the subject. And by and large, if Jim Humble's all right with Moritz, he's all right with me. I do recommend having a quick look at that video link, really, just to if only to get your gander up, you know, get your blood pressure going, get your blood pumping. They finish off by saying Jim Humble's cure-all has taken some people in. It has gained a significant foothold in some places. In the wide open market, that is the net, the vigilance of campaigners like Fiona O'Leary, who's a mother of five, who was responsible for bringing this particular seminar to the attention of the authorities, such that the place where it was being held was raided by, I gather, 20 guardie, including a guy with a machine gun, all to arrest a bloke, a 70-year-old geezer, and take all his stuff away. In the wide open market that is the net, the vigilance of campaigners like Fiona O'Leary is up against a propaganda that goes relatively unchallenged. They're calling Jim Humble and the MMS team as propaganda that goes relatively unchallenged, and that's RTE's prime time doing that. Sounds like a serious case of projection to me. And then they say Humble and his disciples can roam free whilst the damage of his caustic cure is untold. That's what they say. I must say that they do not at any stage demonstrate that any damage is being done to anybody by this, nor do they actually endeavour to talk to any of the people who are actually interested and find out what they've got to say for themselves. I would assume that they must have heard a little bit in their seminar, but anyway, hey, give that a look. I'll try and, the BBC, the One Show, also did, like I say, a bit of a hit piece on it. Nothing like so convincing as RTE's, but still worth watching just to hear what one or two of their experts have got to say. That one's particularly interesting, I think, because it goes on to talk about the use of neuro-linguistic programming in the media and how it is that certain words and certain hand signals and stuff are persistently used to disempower people, to confuse them, and to prevent them from being able to talk properly. And in that case, the interviewer, after they've finished talking about MMS, they show an interviewer persistently interrupting, ignoring, and failing to pay attention to a guy who is trying to bring to his attention the truth about 9/11, and he's not having any of it at all, even though the guy he's interviewing is really making quite a good job of it. And talking of making quite a good job of dealing with mainstream media interviewers and the like, one bit I will play from the RTE hit piece on MMS is a short interview that occurred at the end. They spoke with a lady called Kerry Rivera, who is one of the proponents, I gather, of the fact that in some cases MMS can be used to reverse the effects of autism. And as she says in the interview, it is her experience, this is, and I suspect it's Jim Humble's as well, that he's not just making this stuff and putting it out there. What he's doing is he's meeting people who are getting results, and meeting people who are getting results is what it's all about. So I shall put that on right now. It's about, as I say, where's it gone? Here we go. This one here, it's not very long, 7 or 8 minutes, but I think it's a good example of somebody answering difficult questions and keeping her head under fire. And I would imagine that's exactly why they didn't want to interview people directly on this show, why they'd rather film it all out of a bag and then just stick it all together. Mind you, we know, don't we, that even if they had managed to interview people straight up, they probably edited it to make them look as disadvantaged as possible. Like I say, maybe that's just me being cynical. So here we are. Here's the interview with not really together here tonight at all. Yeah, the interview with Carrie Rivera at the end of the RTE hit piece.
Shortly before we came on air, I spoke by Skype with Kerry Rivera, who's in Mexico and who you saw in Rita O'Reilly's report there. I started by asking her why she is encouraging parents to dose their children with a harmful substance.
That would be assuming that it was a harmful substance. This has definitely not been proven to be a harmful substance in any way, shape, or form. And people have been using back their health for the last 20 years since Jim Humble started using it with other people. He discovered it with malaria in the jungle, and it kind of evolved from there. So again, this is just assuming that it's a harmful chemical.
Yeah, but we had MMS tested in our public analysis laboratory here, and they found that the standard dose would give a child over 500 times the WHO limit for chlorite.
For chlorine dioxide or for Clorox?
Chlorite, because they found that only 10% of the chlorite in the substance was turned into chlorine dioxide.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the case as far as chlorine dioxide is concerned, because we use chlorine dioxide and many people use, hundreds of thousands of people are using chlorine dioxide on a daily basis. Plus, it's in our municipal waters and other things. So
it's in the water in a much lower density than it is in the treatment that you use.
Of course. But at the same time, we're treating people that are ill. So if we're treating ourselves and we have issues and we get rid of the issues and we heal ourselves, then obviously something is happening in the right direction with chlorine dioxide. And again, there's several different things. Some people are talking about sodium chloride, which is obviously a beginning part of chlorine dioxide, but it's still not the chemical chlorine dioxide.
But you do accept that MMS causes, in some cases, vomiting and diarrhea, because I think you say on your website that that's a sign that the treatment is working.
Well, actually, Herxheimer effects can be anything in detoxification protocols. And I think that people that have been healing themselves from autism or cancer or other diseases, basically you have to recover your health. And sometimes there are some detox reactions, which are called Herxheimers. So if you've got vomiting, you're usually going too high or too fast. That's typically what happens. So also you have to measure everything.
Yeah, but the toxicologist we spoke to said that that reaction is a sign that the body is rejecting a toxin. It's trying to get the toxin out of itself as fast as possible.
Which toxin is it? Is it one of the toxins that's already in there? Is it the chlorine dioxide? Again, we're assuming certain things. But what we've been able to repeat 175 times is when you get the virus, the bacteria, the candida, the parasites, the heavy metals out of the people that have prior autism diagnoses, they either get better or some of them even recover.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that in a second. We just want to stick with the what the health authorities say about MMS. Our own health products regulatory authority says MMS contains a disinfectant substance or substances. The US FDA says it's an industrial bleach that can cause serious risks to health. The UK Food Standards Authority says the solution is equivalent to industrial strength bleach. Health Canada says there are serious risks to health in its use. Now, these are all independent bodies funded by the taxpayer, and they're all saying this stuff is not what you want inside you.
Sure. They're all probably okay with drinking Diet Coke, eating at McDonald's, and a few other nice things that people are doing regularly that actually cost us our health. So I'm not sure if those organizations, I would really like to tell me what I should be doing with my health or the health of my family.
Are you seriously comparing MMS to Coke?
No, but what I'm saying is these people are also the ones that are making decisions based on what we're able to eat and drink and what is actually considered healthful.
But they do that. They come to a determination on that by testing substances and by seeing what's in them. And they've done this with MMS and they found it's harmful.
Okay, so why are people losing their diagnosis of prior things like chronic fatigue, Lyme, fibromyalgia, autism? I mean, how does that work?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps you could tell me. Have you you claim to have cured people of autism? Have those results been independently verified by experts?
There's actually a lot of people that actually work with doctors, MAPS, DAN type doctors. They're biomedical intervention doctors. So there are a lot of doctors that are watching some of the children who have recovered and lost their diagnosis of autism. So in circumstances that they are being watched and they have lost their diagnosis.
And have these, are there mainstream doctors that would be recognized as experts in the field of autism who can verify your claims, is the question I was asking.
Medical doctors. So I guess that they're mainstream doctors that come out of medical schools in the United States. I guess that they would be probably able to confirm that.
And as I understand it from your website, your claim is that you believe MMS kills parasites and that the parasites are responsible for autism?
Well, chlorine dioxide does help to kill pathogens in general. There is a protocol, a parasite protocol for killing parasites as well. A lot of times we do see parasites coming out. The parasites are typically rinsed for confirmation that they're not just mucus, because mucus does fall apart when agitated with water. So typically that's what we'll see.
Why have you not submitted your work, which if it were verified would obviously be a huge breakthrough for autism? Why haven't you had it peer reviewed in a scientific journal?
I don't have that kind of money to do peer reviews. I think they're several million dollars. So, and then there's really nobody that's ever asked me for any information to do peer review. So I don't know, I guess.
So if somebody came along and asked you, you would submit your work to peer review and you'd be happy to do that? Because that's obviously, if people want to believe it, they want to see some proof.
Sure, but at the same time, it doesn't matter if people don't believe it. This has been my experience. And I mean, I'm not getting rich off of it, that's for sure. I don't sell the product. My book is for free online. So, you know, people can take it with a grain of salt. They can trash it. As there's, you know, haters out there, of course. And then there's other families that take it and heal their children. So I do believe that everybody has their opportunity to make their decision. And I'm not here to get rich or famous. And of course, neither one are happening anyway. But so if somebody was interested in the work, I would need somebody to help me collect it, of course, because these are all things that people have done voluntarily along over the years.
Do you believe MMS can cure cancer and HIV as well? Jim Humble claimed, I treated 800 cases of HIV just recently in Africa. Every one of them came out good.
Jim Humble, in my opinion, is not a liar. So if he says it, I believe it. I've never been involved in any cases of cancer and HIV, so I can't make this distinction. And I still call it chlorine dioxide because that's what the chemical name is.
A lot of people might have their faith in this particular treatment undermined by Mr. Humble talking about aliens coming to Earth and being a member of the Space Navy. Now, you say he's not a liar, so presumably he believes that as well.
Maybe he does. I can't talk for him.
Do you think anyone without any qualification should be allowed to claim on the internet that any substance can cure any illness without any evidence whatsoever to back it up?
On the internet, absolutely, because there's all kinds of people that heal themselves. I was reading the other day, somebody was drinking, I don't know how much water in the morning, and they get this detail. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there, but people are losing things like, you know, they don't have their arthritic feelings anymore and things of that nature. And a lot of people don't have money. So basically, if you're able to go ahead and for $20 or $30, get rid of a lot of aches and pains and some of the pathogens that we accumulate as we get older, I don't see why that's really a problem to somebody else.
Okay. Kelly Rivera, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
All right. Take care.
That's it for tonight. You can keep up to date with the latest news on RT News.
Dr. Rock's Radio Show. Thursday 9 p.m. to midnight on peoplesinternetradio.com. We go to 11.
There you go. I think that Carrie did a really good job there. I think she really showed the interviewer up. Personally, I believe she showed the interviewer up to be the dork that he was. And he really did show that he'd only been listening to what he'd told. It didn't sound to me like he'd actually done any investigation of his own. And I thought she was really brilliant, which, like I say, shows why I suspect they prefer to do their filming in secret, go in incognito and have to tell untruths to the people on the door in order to get past them to be able to do the work they're doing. Of course, wouldn't it be great if they were in an honourable and interested enough profession to be doing the job properly? But her main point is that, you know, people are, as she put it, losing their diagnosis. This is the thing. I guess, as with everything, it's probably not everybody, but as far as she was concerned, as far as Kerry was concerned, she's personally experienced a lot of people who are using this and who kind of find that one way or the other, where they once were sick, they are now well, or where once there was weakness, there is strength. And that is what we're basically all after, isn't it? I thought it was an inspired response on the McDonald's and the Coke as well, because that's one of the first things that occurred to me when I started listening to these people carping on about sodium chloride and how dangerous it is and how it can lead to respiratory failure and collapsing your blood pressure. Actually, there were several places that said that one of the dangerous side effects of MMS is the lowering of blood pressure, and that's one of the last things the doctor tried to convince me to do, was start taking blood pressure control pills. And I gather that something like half the population of this so-called nation are actually on blood pressure control pills for high blood pressure. And frankly, given the state of things, I'm not bloody surprised. But that means that a side effect of lowering blood pressure could well be useful to quite a lot of people, I would have thought. But like I say, to mention McDonald's and Coke, a bit like I had a bit of rant about sugar and salt earlier on, I mean, McDonald's has been shown to be pretty lethal to you if you try and live on it. If you try and live on just McDonald's, I think it's been demonstrated that you're going to do yourself permanent damage in less than a month. Coca-Cola, absolutely devastating, really seriously hydrating, dehydrating, full of stuff that is not good for you and ripping all the water out of your body. Autism and bacteria. There's a guy in the piece that says that autism is 97. I think he says it's something like 97% heritable, and it is not caused by gut in the bacteria. Well, it might not always be caused by that, of course, but I think that Dr. Andrew Wakefield got himself into a lot of trouble for suggesting that after the MMR vaccine was given to people, there were signs of bacteria in the guts of those people those children who subsequently ended up with autism. So I'm not sure that that's necessarily a correct claim in all cases. I think that Andrew Wakefield's work is undergoing something of a resurgence nowadays. I think that that he's getting people who are supporting his discoveries, whereas of course he was being completely vilified for a good 10 years or so. And of course we mustn't forget that the Center for Disease Control, which is responsible for vaccine programs in the United States, has in fact admitted that it cooked the books on one of its own investigations into vaccines, which if they had been properly published would have shown that, I think again, it was a measles or mumps vaccine. Not quite sure. Anyway, some vaccine they were giving to people was definitely causing increases in autism in children of African descent over in America, and they chose to hide this from the results for a good 10 years or so until somebody blew the whistle on them. So there clearly does seem to be some sort of connection between autism and vaccines, and maybe between autism's bacteria and vaccines. But another thing that I think you'll particularly enjoy on the RTE hit piece is they do a little bit of stuff. You heard her going for him about the fact that he believes he's a space, or him going for Jim Humble on the fact that he believes himself to be of alien ancestry of some sort. Well, they have a good go at pseudo-legal conspiracy theories as well. They have a go at vaccine doubters. They chuck all sorts of stuff in there which suggests that they just don't know what they're talking about, really. And as for saying to her, has your work been peer-reviewed, I wonder if he even knows what peer review involves, and indeed how it actually works, because I'm pretty sure it's not really what it's cracked up to be. We know that by and large people do not try to replicate results which they suspect are going to lose them their funding if they do manage to replicate them. So it's a kind of self-filtering system, really, and like she says, does cost an enormous amount of money. And maybe if somebody would pay for it, I'm sure she'd be grateful, actually, to be able to do some sort of proper research and publication. But hell, none of us have the time, do we? And she mentioned just towards the end there, drinking water. That's I don't find it difficult to believe that MMS can sort out a whole load of things that these people don't believe it can, because one of my greatest discoveries is, even having been told it for 10 years by my various complementary therapists, I did eventually start drinking 5 or 6 pints of water a day, which is now what I do, and I do feel a lot better for it. My joints feel a lot better. I don't get dizzy when I stand up. I haven't had any serious migraines for a while. A whole load of improvements that have come about simply from drinking water. So if such a thing can make such a difference, then I'm sure that other things can as well. So now I'm going to put on a couple of tunes, and I'm going to go and see if Laurie and Jimmy are willing to come on and talk to me for a bit of the show. So I shall be back with you in 8 or 10 minutes or so, and here's Seize the Day and Bastard MasterCard. Yeah, why not?
Dr. Rock's Radio Show, Thursday 9 p.m. to midnight on peoplesinternetradio.com. We go to 11.
Now we're back at you, and we've got a couple of great live guests on the line. I'm joined by Laurie. Hiya, Laurie. Thanks for joining me, mate.
You're welcome, darling. Thanks for inviting me.
I think it's your first time on Dr. Rock's radio show, isn't it?
It certainly is. I've had to decline the last couple of invites because I've been working, but I ran home from work tonight and got in and got the laptop ready. Sam done surgery on my headphones for the last 3 nights, so it's absolutely terrific that my son actually took some time out for me and helped me because I can't afford a new pair of skin.
That's absolutely brilliant. Thanks to Sam for doing that. Thanks for you for being here as well. You managed to escape being on the show for 4 years. It's a real pleasure to have you on. And I've got Jimmy Hagan. He's back again, Jimmy. Thank you very much, mate. How are you doing?
I'm good, Nick, and thanks for the invite, and what an honour it is to be back on with a fellow open source hoster still broadcasting live on the radio with using our open source software, and it's always an honour to be here in this format.
Yeah, well, I'm thoroughly enjoying using this new software, I must admit. It's a lot more stable and easier to use than the old one, and no buzz, which is really great. So what did we make of Miss Rivera's performance with that interviewer there? Let's start with you, Laurie. What did you make of her? Did you think she did all right?
I thought she did all right. I thought she taught the guy a new backside passage, to be honest. I'll not swear on live air, but I think they're there to discredit alternative medicine, alternative therapies, which is not signed off in a doctor's, you know, prescription, because that's where they make the commission. It's totally controlled by the pharmaceutical industry. So when we get a wee bit of information that it's good for alternative therapies, they discredit it. They try and discredit it.
I mean, I don't know. Do you see anything about alternative therapies on the mainstream telly at all?
No, you don't see anything about alternative therapies on mainstream. Because the mainstream is, you go to the doctors, you get a prescription, you take it to the chemist, and the pharmaceutical industry hands you over. I don't see any alternative therapies on mainstream.
I guess they don't like us to think that we can be doing things to help ourselves, do they?
No, they don't. But if you go on the internet, or if you look for if you're looking for maybe an antihistamine because you suffer from bad hay fever, you'll get the alternative therapies on the internet because the internet's not controlled, you see?
Yeah, indeed. That's why I think they're concentrating so hard on actually trying to control things on the ground and make it so that we can't get supplied with these things.
Definitely. I mean, you look at MMS and the people that are making it, they're getting their warehouses attacked, they're getting their equipment taken off them, they're getting stripped for years. I mean, I've known MMS since 1999, 6 years now, and all the time limit through 1999 to now, the amount of people that are making it and getting it stripped off them is unbelievable, and it's because they want to control what's out there.
Because it is, I think it is technically, they have legislated against its sale in the UK, haven't they?
Yeah, well, World Health Organization put it out as a bleach, didn't they?
Right.
But yet, in 1999, they had it on every American airline, about it. Because my daughter seen it in 1999 when I was looking at it for Sam's migraines, my son's migraines. She went on a holiday. She, her and her partner have a villa over in Florida, and they were going over to Florida. And there was actually information on the plane about MMS in the flight magazine.
Was there? And they were being broadly supportive of it at that stage.
And they were being supportive of it at that stage, yes.
Mm. A bit like the Red Cross and that the thing that I played earlier, where they went to the trouble of doing all of the research and being really amazed by the results, and then walked away from it and basically denied that it had ever even happened.
Yeah, that's right, but who told them to do that? They were definitely controlled into shutting their mouths, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so. What about you, Jimmy? What did you think of the lady's performance in her interview there?
She was second to none, actually, and I was very, very impressed with how she handled that that shill. You know, that's a polite way to put it. Just one point, really, about the mainstream media and about the mainstream media not wanting people to have access to information on alternative treatments. I'm not so sure that it's not that they don't want people to have the information, but they're bound in their contracts with the with higher authorities. They have certain contracts that they need to fulfil, or the journalists and the producers of these magazines, as such, will end up in a serious amount of bother if they don't follow the party line. I see it as a contract problem myself. Like, I see a big crackdown on journalism since I started working with Sean McGee on our Sunday show, 4 PM to 7. Great to get a little plug in there for the show. But,
it's a great show, Jimmy.
Crackdown.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, doctor. But there's a serious crackdown on journalism and, people trying to get information out. The way I see it is they're not allowed to, because if they were to put the information out, they will either lose their jobs or they might end up like in a suitcase floating down a river. Mm. You know, that's just the way I see it.
Yeah, I wonder if there's ever going to be any chance of, I mean, we said it again and again, haven't we? There must be policemen who don't like the way the police are going. There must be judges that don't like the way the judiciary is going. There must be journalists who are frankly completely pissed to the back teeth with how journalism's going and the fact that they can't do their job properly. I wonder if any of them will ever manage to, you know, start doing an independent job.
Well, I think the blogosphere seems to be changing that a lot, and I think a lot of folk really are switching. Like, as far as I can gather, like from my work with Sean McGee, that like a lot of journalists are switching out of the mainstream and moving to the blogosphere, basically, and getting information out in that fashion. So, yeah, I see progress being made.
Yeah. Yes, there are certainly some pretty good blogs out there. What we really need is we need some central points that we can start picking up on them, because it's pretty disparate, isn't it?
It's a little all over the shop, like, but once everybody is doing a little bit of their own research and a little bit of their own posting, even if it's only on social media, when you're posting on social media, you're hitting a lot of people, you're hitting your friends. Even with the blocks that are going on Facebook at the minute and their attempts to manipulate what's being posted, I still see progress being made, and I think there's a cascade going on at the minute, and I think they're going to find it very, very hard to stop it, because as with places like Facebook and MySpace, they come and they go, and people are always on the move on the internet, so I think they're going to find it very, very hard to control it.
Mm. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I think so. And basically people will find new ways of doing old things if necessary. So, Laurie, when you first came across MMS in the late 90s, when did you first get a chance to actually kind of try it out? What was your first experience of it?
It was Sam, actually. You know Sam yourself, Nick. Mm. Sam's my son, and he's now 17 years old. He's 6'6". But when in 1999, he was 11 years old, and he was about 5'7". He had horrific migraines. He had started taking. A migraine for Sam would last 5 days.
Oh.
And he would take one every week. So he was out his education for 5 days out of every week. He took a migraine every week for about 6 weeks. He ended up a neurosurgeon in a brilliant children's hospital here in Glasgow. And the neurosurgeon says, okay, Sam, he says, we'll have to do an allergy test on you. He says, because I have got a feeling you're either allergic to cheese or you're allergic to chocolate.
Okay.
He says the 40 years I've been being a neurosurgeon and working with migraines in the brain, he says, probably over 95% of the people that have migraines can't eat cheese or chocolate.
Wow, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So they did a test on him, where they gave him cheese and they gave him chocolate. And he didn't bother with chocolate, but with cheese, he was ill in 10 minutes.
Wow.
So they actually found out it was mature cheddar he was allergic to. But he says, look, just avoid it. I can't do anything about it. It's your body. You may grow out it, you may not. So Sam avoided the cheddar. We brought him out the doctor. Well, there's no use going back to the neurosurgeon, so he came back home, but he still started taking the migraines and he wasn't having cheese.
Okay.
So I took him back to the doctors and I says, look, he's still having migraines, he's avoiding cheese, and the doctor diagnosed him as having abdominal migraines. He said, and his explanation of an abdominal migraine, he says it's very common in young men. He says the glands in the head and the neck, especially the throat, are connected to the glands in his stomach. He says, so when your son is taking a cold, he's feeling it in his throat first. And just feeling it in that throat gland is starting off his stomach gland, and it's actually giving him... You know, when a woman's in labour and her muscles are going into spasm?
Yeah.
Contractions, is it?
Yes, Jimmy. Sam's stomach muscles was contracting possibly every 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and that could be for up to 36 hours.
And that was causing his migraines?
That was causing his migraines. So they distinguished the fact he could take a migraine in two occasions. Either his throat starts and it goes to his stomach, because if he ate cheese, his stomach wouldn't contract. It would go straight to a migraine.
Okay.
Okay, so he stopped taking the cheese, but whenever he started getting a cold or something, his throat, Mum, I can feel my throat going. He started this abdominal migraines and it was like horrific. I sat up with him all night, many a night. And actually, I was working night shift in Asda years and years ago. I worked for Asda years ago, night shift, and I'd done years for Asda. And it was a good pay. But I had to give up that job because Sam was getting that bad whenever these migraines started, you know. So at that time, you know Jim?
Yeah.
Jim's my ex-partner and still one of my very good friends. Jim's daughter brought in a magazine from Stirling University. She was at Stirling University studying animal biology at the time. And she brought in a magazine and says, Lorraine, look at this. And it was a 4-page spread on a scientific magazine about MMS.
Right.
So I got it and I read it. And just at that time, that was me finding out that Reverend Rashers in Ireland was a reverend.
Yeah.
And he had actually been to Dominion Republic with Reverend Leon Edwards, which is one of my good friends who couldn't make it tonight, Nick. Because they went to Portugal, yeah.
Yeah, I can see how Portugal might win out over the Dr. Rock show.
and I don't think it's actually holiday related. I think it's actually MMS related because he works a lot within the church at healing. So anyway, I found out Reverend Rash has done this and I got a course over. I put Sam on a course five times a day for 3 weeks, and that was in 1999, and to this day he's never had a migraine.
Wicked.
Now, he can feel, he stays, in fact, I'll not talk about the cheese now because you know how he was very allergic to the cheese and that sent him right into a migraine. He has not had an abdominal migraine since he was 11 years old, which was 6 years ago. But if he feels one coming on, he'll go straight into the fridge, he knows where the MMS is, and he'll make it up, and he'll go to bed, and he'll stop it dead.
Brilliant.
So he's actually never had a migraine for 6 years.
Well, you see that again, you see, it might not be malaria or autism or whatever, but I know myself that migraines are completely debilitating. I can't do anything when I've got one. I'm lucky that I can go to sleep, and when I wake up again, they've generally gone. But they are really bad, you know. It gets to the point where the slightest noise or too much heat or just anything, it just makes life a misery, really. So to have been able to clear up something like that and have the means of continuing to clear it up, I'd say counts as, near miraculous, isn't it, really?
Well, it is for me, but to hear people saying now, there was a show a couple of weeks ago on OYM and this horrific woman coming in saying, you shouldn't be giving your kids this, you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't be doing that. And I'm like, that's a crazy woman. Crazy woman. Because if you'd have sat in my son's bed through the night for 5 nights, and that 5 nights, that young boy has not slept 2 minutes. He's totally exhausted. He's totally lethargic. He's totally in agony.
Yeah.
What would you do to your son? What would you do for your son, you know?
And presumably you never experienced any side effects from the MMS with him?
None. He had the usual, which is described, and MMS will tell you, the first couple of days you will experience diarrhea, but that is actually crap that's held in your body coming out.
Mm.
And after, I don't even think Sam got to 2 or 3 days. I think he only got to like 1 day, and it was fine after that for his 3 weeks course. You know? Mm. But
yeah.
No, I've never encountered. I've taken MMS myself. Jim's taken MMS, still on MMS. He's on DMSO and all things like that now. But myself and Sam only take it really when we need it.
Yeah. So Jim's using it as a. He's using it as a daily thing, is he? As a sort of general preventative.
Oh, what's worked for Jim was, if you remember the 2T1 process that first came out.
Yeah.
So you were taking two of the chlorite and then one of the, you know, the other one. And it's now 1T1, but first came out, it was 2T1. Yeah, and he worked up to the 14 drops. And then he used to take like a kind of management of like 4 or 5 every week after that.
Yeah.
He has cured his eyesight. Every time he goes to his contact lenses, it drops his eyes. Jim's eyesight's probably strengthened about 7, 8 times now since the year 2000. So his eyesight's got a lot better. His sciatica's totally cured, and that man was ill with sciatica. His legs were like concrete. When you touched his side of his legs from his back, it wasn't soft tissue. It was like hitting concrete. He doesn't have that anymore. He doesn't suffer from it anymore.
Which again is another good, really good result, because that, as far as I'm aware, is something, well, I mean, let's face it, standard practice tends to enable you, through the use of what they call medicines, to live with your symptoms, doesn't it? It tends, there aren't any, there don't seem to be any cures for anything in general practice.
It's used as an ailment to cope with what you've got.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have to cope with what he's got anymore, because he doesn't have it anymore.
And again, it's presumably because there was either toxins or bacteria or something that were not enabling the body to process itself properly.
Oh, definitely. Jim totally believes that whatever was in his body at the time, the MMS has stripped the body out. It's taking it out of the body, totally.
So is there from what I've looked at of the protocols, it's actually quite complicated. There's quite a lot of different ones, aren't there? Is it easy to locate one that will, you know, detoxify you? Is there one that enables you to detoxify?
Yeah, well, your protocol 1000 would do that, which is a litre bottle, and you're splitting it into 8 sections for 8 hours during the day, and you'll have your 3 drops, because you need the 24 drops in a 24-hour period. You only have that for 8 hours of the day, so you've got the other, you know, 16 hours where you're free from it.
Mm-hmm. So, so you're only taking minute quantities of this anyway?
Yeah, yeah. Which... And while you're taking it, you're avoiding coffee, chocolate, everything that's an antioxidant, because you don't want to counteract it.
Okay. So there's an element of oxidisation in this as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Oh. No coffee, no chocolate, but no sciatica and no migraines.
Exactly. I mean... Do the maths. What do you want?
Yeah.
Do you want a cup
I think there are, like, there is room for manoeuvring, though, because it's my understanding that the MMS, chlorine dioxide, it only stays in the body for 2 hours, right? So that's the longest it will stay in your body, and anything that's not used is turned into table salt, basically.
Jimmy, I don't even think it stays in the body for 2 hours, because what you're supposed to do is have your coffee or avoid your coffee or have your breakfast and what you're eating and drinking really early, and then take, I mean, I'm not talking about the protocol 1000 because you're drinking that every hour for 8 hours, but if you were taking your chlorine dioxide as a drink of, like, maybe once a day, then all you would do is avoid your coffee, avoid chocolate, avoid antioxidants before it, take it, leave it an hour and a half, and then you can eat and drink what you want after it.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because the compound stays in your body for such a short a time, there is a little bit of room for flexibility. That was my thinking on it anyway, so...
Yes, you're right. You're definitely right, yes.
So it actually moves through you quite quickly as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't stay in your body long, no.
Paul.
Even if you think you've taken a high dose of it, where you went and vomit, your body couldn't cope with it. By the time you've actually vomited, your body's had so much of it anyway.
Mm.
So but you don't really want to do that. You don't want to get to the point where you're making yourself ill with it.
I guess then you'd just back off a little bit, wouldn't you, like any other detoxing routine?
Well, what you do is, if you take five drops, I mean, I recommend if anybody's starting to take MMS, start with one drop to one drop. Wait a couple of days, get used to that, take two. But if the minute you take two and you feel ill after it, drop back down to that one for a couple of days and let your system get really used to it before you go up a bit.
So that's one drop of what to one drop of what, Laurie?
Well, you've got your one drop of chlorine dioxide to your one drop of neutralizer.
Well, you see, this is the thing, and this is something that wasn't discussed on the RTE program, because they're all talking about chlorine, sodium chloride, right? But they didn't touch on what MMS actually was. So basically, like, the chemical structure of MMS, it starts off as a 22.4% solution of sodium chloride.
Right,
made by adding sodium chloride to water. The sodium chloride can be bought from chemical companies already in water, or it can be bought as a powder. However, the sodium chloride from which chlorine dioxide is generated is diluted in water, thereby making MMS1. The chemical formula for sodium chloride is NaClO2. Sodium chloride is very stable chemical, has been stored in airtight containers for more than 20 years, and solution of sodium chloride are fully usable after being stored for 5 years in a closet out of light, basically. So they never touched on that on the RTE program at all.
No, they won't touch on that, do they? Because they're giving the clues away, aren't they?
Indeed, when my mum, because my mum knows I'm taking MMS, right? And the first thing my mum watched, got some of that show, and she said, you know, that's pure chloride, she says to me. I says, okay. So I says to her, what's pure chloride? I says to her. And she says, I don't know. So if I was to tell you then, ma'am, that MMS was salts, what would you say? And oh, I don't trust it now. So I think that program done a lot of damage.
Yeah, it did, because it didn't tell you what the formula is. Actually one atom of chlorine, Ci, and two atoms of oxygen, O2, in the molecular construction of chlorine dioxide. But the three atoms are held together by electrons to form the molecular of chlorine dioxide. And I'm actually reading this out because the last show I done on MMS was about 2 or 3 years ago with Dr. Leon Edwards, which is Reverend Leon Edwards, which was the guy I was trying to get on tonight, Nick, for you.
Yeah.
Had to go to Portugal. But they don't tell you the actual chemical structure of it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is the vital stuff that they miss out.
Well, this is it, Laurie. You know, it's very, very important, like the chemical formula of chlorine dioxide. So chlorine dioxide, I'm going to read as well here too, would you like? Because I think it's really, really important, because I used to have a big fear of this because I made myself really sick with it the first time. And now I'm on a different, I've taken a different approach. I've been a little bit more relaxed with it and I'm not making myself sick with it. So I've lost the fear. So, but basically chlorine dioxide is the active ingredient in MMS after it is activated by acid. The chemical formula of chlorine dioxide is ClO2. That formula shows that there is one atom of chlorine and two atoms of oxygen in a molecule of chlorine dioxide. These three atoms are held together by electrons to form the molecule of chlorine dioxide. Chlorine dioxide is a gas, and MMS are in most cases used as a gas dissolved in water. The ClO2 gas can be used at times directly on the skin or even in the mouth. Chlorine dioxide is one of the most effective killers of pathogens such as bacteria, molds, fungus, viri, biofilm and other disease-causing microorganisms, which includes the vast majority of the diseases of mankind, basically. I'm here on the MMS wiki, basically, because I found this a huge source of information. So it's mmswiki.is if anybody is interested in finding out more about
it. I'll stick that link in for them, guys. I'll stick that link in for you, Jenny.
Excellent, Larry, excellent.
If it does for moulds, it sounds like it might be useful in the glasshouse as well.
Indeed, that was suggested to me, Doc, because if you notice through the course of the year with the changes in temperatures and stuff, you get a lot of build-up of diseases and fungi and all sorts in the greenhouse. And it was suggested that a mild dilution of MMS would be very, very beneficial to spray around your greenhouse.
Yeah, because you get lots of little bits of mould and stuff, and effectively rust, black spot on roses. That's a mould. Oh, that's quite interesting.
The stuff that MMS can be used for is absolutely amazing. Our chickens have been very ill with it. We've cured our chickens. We've given it to Holly and TJ, which was the Via Manana and the pug. I've given it to my birds, which I used to breed cockatiels. Oh my God, the fridge gets cleaned out with it. Anything that needs cleaned gets cleaned in this house with MMS.
Well, why not? I mean, if it's good for getting rid of moulds and that kind of stuff, I guess it is a disinfectant, but there's nothing wrong with that, is it? Is there? If what you're trying to do is disinfect yourself.
Well, are we sure we can call it disinfection, though, at the end of the day? So I'm just going to read another little bit, because you touched upon the subject of oxidation.
Yeah.
As used to kill microorganisms. So I'm just going to read a little bit more from the MMS wiki here at mmswiki.is. Chlorine dioxide kills most microorganisms through the process of oxidation. Oxidation is not always understood, with many people thinking that oxidation is the process of adding oxygen to other substances. This is not the case. Oxidation is the process by which substances are destroyed. The electrons that hold a substance together are pulled off by the oxidizing chemical, and thus the substance then comes apart, which of course destroys it. Chlorine dioxide is unique in the chemical world because the chlorine dioxide molecule has a chemical characteristic that changes and makes the makes it selective for pathogens. The change happens when the chlorine dioxide molecule pulls one electron from a pathogen, which normally is not enough to damage the pathogen, but that electron then comes over to the chlorine dioxide molecule and changes it. When this happens 1,000 times or 100,000 times, the pathogen is destroyed, mainly because this process blows a hole in the side of the pathogen. Just for your information, there is another oxidation process which is called chlorination, which involves the chlorine coming over and combining with the item to be oxidized, thus making new compounds. When this happens with chlorination, many times one of the new compounds, because of the chlorine involved, is carcinogenic, in brackets, cancer-causing. This information is just added for reference. Chlorination has nothing to do with MMS, but it might confuse some of the critics who happen to use Clorox bleach in their laundry. Basically, that's a little idea of how the oxidation process works. This wiki is really, really informative. I found it fascinating. The science of MMS really just is blowing my mind. It's totally changed my thought processes concerning it. I've totally lost my fear of MMS now.
Oh, definitely. But, Jimmy, just for the members to put that in layman terms, for people to put it on the street tongue is...
Okay.
Jimmy has said there is disease will only set in an acidic body. To have a disease-free body, your body has to be oxygenated, and that's exactly what Jimmy has said to you.
Okay, so is that so? There's a similarity between what's going on there and these bicarb and bicarb diets and things. The drinking of cider vinegar in the morning and things like that, what they call it, alkalizing the body.
Yes, yes, because you've got to make your body alkaline. If your body's acidic, disease will set in an acidic body. You've got many things with bicarb. You've got Dr. Judy, what's her name? Just give me a wee minute here. She mixes cottage cheese with flaxseed oil. And then you've got bicarb soda, which gets mixed with Canadian maple syrup, and it's got to be Canadian maple syrup. And all these actually makes your body alkaline and gets rid of the acidity, which means disease cannot set in. You'll not get cancer if your body's alkaline. You will get cancer if your body's acidic. You'll
That's
get the
so
flu
true,
if
Laurie.
Your body's acidic. You'll
That's
get
so
all
true, Laurie. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah,
and the
and it's quite interesting there, the doctor, because you mentioned sodium bicarbonate, and when we're talking about MMS, the solution consists mostly of water with chlorine dioxide as a weak solution, but along with those there is table salt and several other trace neutral chemicals such as sodium hydroxide, sodium carbonate, and sodium bicarbonate.
And that's your bicarb of soda. Be careful not to mix that with baking powder, because baking powder has mercury in it.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah,
so
that's one to remember. Yeah.
There is a difference between baking powder and bicarbonate of soda. Bicarbonate of soda is your purest form, with no heavy metals.
Right, okay.
So, Laurie, if we go into our local supermarket, right, and we find a packet of, and it says bicarbonate of soda on it, we can trust that, can we?
Yes, you can.
Okay, that's good to know.
Next to that, you will get baking powder.
Right, okay, yeah. That's good to know. That's really, really good to know.
The baking powder holds the heavy metal mercury. You don't want, you want to avoid that little plague. Your purest form is bicarb of soda.
I often wondered what the difference was between those two things, but we do stick with bicarb for baking here.
Yeah, well, a lot of people will pick up baking powder and think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. It holds that heavy metal.
Mm. Well, they wouldn't call it a different thing if it was the same thing, would they? Look, it says something different on it.
True.
So, I mean, is MMS, I mean, we can, despite the fact that it is illegitimate to sell this stuff in the UK, it still seems to be plentifully available on the internet and around the place. Is it easy to make your own?
We've got one of the Scottish guys here that make it now, because we now know that one of the suppliers that we used to get from Ireland can't do it at the moment. If you go into jimhumble.biz, he will tell you how to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Making it, I don't know the science of actually making it, but making chlorine dioxide, Jimmy's actually was versing on that link, mmswiki.is.
Yeah.
And there's actually making chlorine dioxide. I don't know if Jimmy wants to read that. I've not got my specs on, but...
Because obviously the more of us that can make it, the better, guys. I mean, if it's easy to make and people can learn how to make it, then they can make as much noise and infiltrate as many people as they like, can't they, really?
Yeah, well, I don't see why you can't make it and get the stuff off the internet, because...
It's quite easy to make, actually. You just need a few little bits and pieces to make it happen, really. You just need a few little beakers that you can use for measuring accurately, like little scientific beakers, and you're good to go. All you got to do then is just source the correct materials.
Mm-hmm. Correct quality materials and exactness of measuring, then. We've got a couple of questions. Paul Matthews has put, how much does MMS cost to buy, roughly? And Ian's put in £15 for two small bottles, I think. Is that about right?
Yeah. I was getting it in Ireland before, and it was £30 for us. But you've got to remember the postage in Ireland and everything coming over, and the time it takes to make. You know, if somebody's going to do this... to feed themselves, they're not going to make a massive profit out of it, but what they're going to do is get their dinner, maybe, out of a couple of bottles getting sold and getting posted away. They'll maybe get their dinner for the night, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I've got an interesting little bit of information, because not every reverend out there is interested in making money. I recently got, not just me, but a few of my friends as well, got some MMS from, I never asked if the gentleman was a reverend, but it was provided without any charge. So,
the reverend I used to get it from, if someone had no money and they needed the MMS, it would be posted to for free.
Yeah.
But if you had a couple of pounds spares that you could pay the man for his time, postage, and to get him something to eat, you would do that, yeah?
Yeah. That's another thing that the hit piece was carping on about, was the fact it cost you €290 or something to go to the seminar to learn how to make it. But I would guess that you were getting your €290 worth, and probably the same thing would apply if you didn't have it. I'm sure you could barter with them.
Well, I know of members on the site right now that couldn't afford the full price for the course. I mean, it was, to my knowledge, it was nothing like what you've quoted there, but he didn't have the money, and he was told to come along and give what he could, and he learned.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's a subject we've had to cover time and time again, that everybody needs money to live, to get themselves around the place, to, I don't know, hire venues, get materials, all that kind of stuff. If we've got the money, we should expect to pay people for what we're getting. It's an energy exchange of sorts.
Of course it is, but if the guys are flying out to your country that they're not even involved in, they've got places to stay, they've got transport, they've got flights.
Mm.
You know, I mean, since when did we want anything for nothing, Nick?
there's a lot of people out there that do, and I'm, you know, yeah. I'm personally happy to work for nothing, but at the same time, if you haven't got enough money to pay for my diesel, then you're stuck with me until I can earn it.
Good man,
exactly.
Good man,
exactly.
I've got a question from Newman in the chat box. He just wants confirmation. He's put, so is bicarb good? Because my doctor said it was bad. Well, there's a surprise, eh?
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Is that Newman?
Yeah.
Newman, you need to remember that the pharmaceutical industry actually controls your doctors, your dentists, your nurses, you know, your psychologist, everybody that's getting trained in the medical industry. You get your little suitcase, you get your little bag with a stethoscope and your books, and you get everything you need to join that medical industry, and you get it for nothing. Because it's the pharmaceutical industry that's paying it for you.
Yep, and training you, and teaching you how to write appallingly so nobody can read it.
Yeah.
But in a sense, though, also, there's some really good pharmacists out there when we're talking about the subject, and they're not all bad dudes. And if you know what you're looking for, they will go out of their way to get you what you need. And we'll even give good advice, probably better advice than what doctors can give.
I only know one, and he's actually retired, and it's actually Asian pharmaceutical pharmacists that have actually taken over his actual shop now. But you could go into him and say, Mr. Gray, such and such and such, and he'd give you an alternative.
Okay, so I just want to go back for just a little second now, because Laura, you were suggesting that I maybe read out about making chlorine dioxide.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Okay, well, so this is again from the mmswiki.is, and it's this heading is making chlorine dioxide. Chlorine dioxide is generated from sodium chloride, which is NaClO2. Sodium chloride has a pH of 13, which means it is highly alkaline. So, when citric acid, or most any other acid is added, they bring the pH down towards the acid condition, causing the sodium chloride to become unstable and thus begin to release chlorine dioxide, which is ClO2, from the sodium chloride, which is the NaClO2. The more acid that is added, the more chlorine dioxide is released, and is until all the chlorine dioxide is released. So basically, I want to say here that you can see that the sodium chloride is an unusual chemical that is made largely of chlorine dioxide. But the chlorine dioxide does not become available until the acid is added. So, basically, as it was stated above, chlorine dioxide is a gas, but it dissolves in any water that is present or that is mixed with it. Normally there is water present when the acid is added, and most of the gas will remain right in the water. Just use the right number of drops with the instructions and you're okay.
Okay, so does that smell of chlorine, that gas?
Oh, God, yeah. You have to be very, very careful also. I must state now, don't inhale the gas right into your lungs because you can cause damage to your lungs.
Yeah, definitely. But
they do say that you can sort of like take short little inhales, but don't get it directly into your lungs, and that will sort of like cause an effect inside in your sinuses that you can feel. I've tried this. I do try this every time I'm making it. Just a short little inhale, but not deep enough to bring it into the lungs. And I can't remember how to describe when the moment is that you're supposed to stop, but you'll know, right?
I agree also, Jimmy. What you're not supposed to do is put your nose into the glass that you've made it in. You hold it away and take a smooth, slow inhalation of it, and only do a maximum of one or two. Don't take any more.
Right. And is it to your advantage to do that, is it? Or should you wait for the gas to go away and then just have the stuff that's left in the water?
Well, if you're just using it as an inhalation, you're making it up to take it internally anyway, aren't you? So you're making it up to take it internally, but once it's ready, you can take a small, slow sniff, but not with your nose in the glass, or you're going to feel it horrific in your lungs.
Right. Yeah, I remember accidentally making some chlorine gas when I was preparing to wash a kitchen floor where I was working, and I just chucked a load of stuff in there, and we had to get out the kitchen, basically. You can pretty quickly stop being able to breathe.
Yeah, Jim done it one night as well with a load of guys in the kitchen, with the kitchen door shut and the window shut. Made a lot of it, had a quick sniff and was in hospital for a day.
Really?
Yes.
Right.
So. And he went, I said, did you not have a window open? What? Why did you do that for? Why did you put your nose in the glass? And he went, because I was bloody stupid.
Yeah.
So he learned very quickly, and you will learn very quickly.
So you are doing serious chemistry here.
Very serious chemistry, yes.
Another point that was made in the hit piece by RTE was that they actually got it a bit wrong at the seminar that they went to, and it did smell a bit bad. And my God, they had a school child standing right next to it with no precautions. But unfortunately, they did in the end have to take it outside as well, which didn't look too good, I guess, really.
They must have made quite a substantial amount if they were in a room and smelt all this, you know what I mean? Because when you're making it up in front of you, you don't smell it in front of you. You have to put your nose in a glass to smell it.
Yeah, and you're just talking about making
making your dosage. If you're making a 3-3, you know, if you're making a 3-3 and then wait until it gets together. When you're mixing the 3-3, I do it in two glasses. I do it in a very small glass, and I'll do 5-5 at any time.
Okay.
And I'll put a bigger glass on top to seal the bottom, small glass.
Yeah.
For 30 seconds, that turns clear and it turns green.
Right, so
you're amber. I think it's often described as an amber colour.
Yeah, kind of greeny, brownie, you know, I maybe have no my specs on that day, Jimmy, you know what I mean?
Oh, right, yeah, I do forget, yeah.
I count 30 seconds anyway, and it turns a nice, lovely colour. Yeah, a rusty colour. I seen that the last time I made it up, because I make a, especially for my bath, I love an MMS bath at night, and I do 40-40.
Right. So you can absorb it through your skin as well, again, like the bicarb, because they recommend bicarb in a bath. Is it bicarb or Epsom salts you have in your bath? Can't remember.
Oh, I don't know. I do MMS 40-40 in my bath, and I do a 20-minute therapy in my bath.
Yeah. So
and it's fantastic, because you feel, your skin feels so clean, and everything's just so good, your breathing's good, and...
So
everything's just so good about it.
When you're doing it for the bath, you'd mix 20 drops of each in a glass and then pour that into the bath?
No, 40-40.
40-40.
40-40. Mix it up. It turns nice amber, like Jimmy says, a nice strong, rusty amber colour. And my bath's already run, and I'll just tip it in the bath, rinse my glass out in the bath, and I'm right in there for 20 minutes.
Oh, I guess when you've got a 40-40 solution, it's quite clear to see then that it's an amber colour. Rather, when you're using the smaller amounts that you take internally, it's not as easy to see the colour change.
It goes, when you're using like a 3-3 or something, it goes greeny. But the stronger you take it, it goes, like you said, it goes to that amber, strong, rusty colour.
And as well as that, as we were talking there, as I was reading from the wiki there, the more acid that you add to it, like you get a quicker release of the chlorine dioxide, which is the active element in it. Like, so it's probably a different colour also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that leads to a faster activation of the substance.
I'm not sure if it's a fast rock. I'm not sure because I'm not a reverend. You see, I'm only a proper reverend would be able to probably tell you all the
ins and
outs?
I think it depends on whether you're taking it internally or you're taking it topically, like as a spray for eczema, or you're putting it in your bath, or, you know.
Yeah. And is it good for things like colds and flu and general infections? Can you use it for that?
Well, I'll give you testimony from this week. I came down with a nasty, 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 horrible bug that's been plaguing people for 6, 7, 8 weeks over here. And here I am on day 3 with MMS and vitamin C, and I'm nearly better. So, look, there's a testimony there.
How are you taking your vitamin C, Jimmy?
Just in water, just stir up half a teaspoon in water, and yeah, I ordered some in special, like basically.
I only recently realised that because I was wondering where you'd get vitamin C from. We make apple juice every year, and
ascorbic acid.
Yeah, we put a teaspoonful of that into every 10 gallons or something, and that stops it from discolouring, and that's basically apparently vitamin C. But, we had to get, I can't quite remember, it got to be really difficult for us to get at one point after somebody had done somebody said it looked like ricin or something and you needed a Home Office licence to buy it. But I think we're getting it all right again now.
Good, good, good. I just have, because we were talking a little bit about the science of MMS, and there was one little interesting, there's two little paragraphs here from the wiki I do want to read before we time out here, but it's their headings on oxidation potential, right?
Yeah.
So, the chemical ClO2 is a weak oxidizer with an oxidation potential of 0.95 volts. The oxidation potential determines the strength of the ability of an oxidizer to oxidize other compounds. Chlorine dioxide is the weakest of all the oxidizers that are ever used in the human body. For your reference, oxygen has an oxidation potential of 1.28 volts. Hydrogen peroxide has an oxidation potential of 1.80 volts. And the strongest oxidizer ever used in the body, which is ozone, has an oxidation potential of 2.07 volts.
God, it's all so subtle, isn't it? I mean, it is amazing. This body that we're wandering around in and how it works is completely astonishing. And one of the things I realised about the salt in this, using sea salt in your water, just a pinch in each pint, that changes the electrolytic capacity of your cells. Without it, they're kind of half buggered. And far from cutting salt out of our diet, we ought to be having a little bit of water, a little bit of salt in all of the water that we drink.
Hmm. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the more I know about it, the more amazed I am by the general human body. When you think about it, it's such an astonishing quantum process. All its bits, you know, the way the brain works, the way the cells work. Somebody sent me a link recently to a YouTube vid called, I think it's just called Protein Packing. And it's a 2.5 minute video of what goes on in a cell. And I tell you, it's one of the most trippy things I've ever seen. Walt Disney, eat your heart out. Really, really amazing, detailed look at what it is that's going in there. And it seems to me that every cell is every bit as complex in its operation as the whole organism is, which is really mind-boggling.
I think we're living in a kind of as a lot of people might describe it, an electric universe. So, in a sense, it's not a far stretch to bring on that our bodies are electrical. You know, just.
Well, I think they definitely are. I mean, the heart gives off a huge electrical pulse, apparently, that can be measured quite a long way away from the body. I can't remember how far away it is, but I remember being quite surprised. Here we go. Electrons, it's all in the electrons and electrolytes, says Unique Lee. Your little nuclear power cells keeps the hydro bioelectric power plant running.
Nice one, Lee. Well said.
Yeah.
So have you, apart from getting rid of your flu, your bug and stuff, have you felt any advantages from taking the MMS, Jimmy?
Well, do you know what? I'm really enjoying it at the moment. I'm kind of like curious because my pee is changing colour and it's pretty cool.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm actually really enjoying taking the MMS now. I learnt from my first mishap with it, like I overdid it and got diarrhea and really pooey farts and I took so much, I think that, the very thought of MMS used to make me nauseous. I couldn't even think about the substance, and I had to put it away and forget about it for, a year, 2 years.
So why did you go so mad with it? Because they're pretty clear on building up slowly from a drop at a time, aren't they, I thought? Or are you just...
I overdid it. I brought myself up too quick, and I didn't read the fine print.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you didn't read...
drop down.
Didn't read the fucking manual.
Didn't read the manual, basically, you know? And I put myself right off. So... I put myself so off it that I couldn't even ever think about it even, because if I even thought about MMS, I used to make myself nauseous thinking about it. But here I am now taking it every day, and I'm really, really happy taking it every day.
I have exactly the same problem with Southern Comfort.
Harvard gacky stuff.
So how do you know how it's going with the church? Laurie, you obviously know the Reverend Leon Edwards. How are they hanging in there? I suspect they're about to come under a fair degree of pressure.
Well, they are at the minute, actually, because Jim Humble has been infiltrated with a lot of the usual propaganda.
Yeah.
But I do know that he will be in the UK very shortly. And I will have it up on site as soon as I find out the details. I stay in contact with Leon, the Reverend Leon, and Jim himself, actually, because the last time I asked Jim to be on a guest, he got back to me and he says, "Sure, Laurie, 10 hours after my show had finished."
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that happens quite a lot with guests. So, is there a podcast?
But I think poor Jim Doe has been. I think he's done so many shows over the last few years. I think he's taken a kind of a back seat, because I was in touch with Jim. I got in touch with him through the Facebook, but I got the sense that he felt that all the information was out there anyway, and that he wasn't really able to do any more shows because
not in PIR, Jim Humble will be back on PIR soon. Don't you worry about it.
That'll be good. Yeah, that'd be good to hear him on PIR. It really would. Like,
well, it'd be good to be able to give kind of a bit of mutual support, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, I'd like to talk more about it. I must admit, one of the things that really struck me about particularly the RTE hit piece was how effective the propaganda is, because I know that they're talking bollocks, excuse my French, but it still had quite an impact on me for a couple of hours after I first watched it. There's a kind of sorcery being run there. And if you don't know what it is they're talking about, then you would be just utterly convinced beyond any doubt that what they were telling you was the truth.
I totally agree with you, Nick. It's like that lady that was on OIM, and she was flapping about, "You can't do this to children. What the hell are you doing? And this, who's this Kerry Rivera? What's she doing to children?" But she never even sat down for 5 minutes and researched what the woman has done. She's cured over 105 autistic children.
Yeah, I'd really like to. I remember hearing about that pod on OIM. I'll have to try and find that, seek that one out.
That was quite an interesting topic about autism and the connection between parasites in the body and autism. I remember. Yeah. I'm not sure if we're talking about the same.
Yes, you are. The parasites are held in an autistic person's urinary tract. Yes. and also the measles are in there as well.
Right, which is the connection between the measles, mumps, rubella vaccination and the post-vaccination autism.
Yes, definitely in there. If you look, I mean, there's plenty of pods where Reverend Rashers was on. I have my pod on Scotland is Free with Reverend Leon Edwards. If you look through Scotland is Free, you'll find the pod, and it was a 3-hour pod we done. We went through every protocol that you could possibly get on MMS. We went through that for the 3 hours.
Brilliant. I'll go listening for that. That sounds like it could be a useful one to have. I was going to ask if that was still on there. I'll try and find the OIM pod as well, because that sounds quite interesting. Obviously, Jim Humble's website's worth going and having a look at as well. I think Ian put the link in for that earlier.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Does anybody know what's happened to what's his name, to Daniel Smith in America? Because he was raided by the FDA, and they were talking about taking him to court and putting him away for 37 years or something. And I think his trial was due to start last month, sometime in the middle of March.
I don't know of him. I did hear
of that case. I was following that case, but I haven't heard any updates yet, Doctor. So any information you got, I'd be really interested in, because I'd like to cover that on the European News Weekly as well, even though it's America, but it affects us all.
Yeah, I've got the link for the original. The FDA targets family man in an attempt to stop MMS. So this is the original article that I came
That's
up with.
That's right. And while we're talking about him, and I don't have a name, but we have a similar situation going on here in Ireland. There's a man in County Kilkenny, maybe, and he's coming under. He's getting attacked from the system as well too for his dealings with MMS and supplying MMS through a website. So all his computers were seized and stuff like that. So I haven't heard any updates just yet, but I know where I can go to find updates. So
I think we really need to keep an eye on those things, because I tend to agree with Jim Humble that it's not just the individuals that are under attack; it's the actual thing itself. But like I say, if it's that easy to make, then the thing to do is to propagate that knowledge far and wide, really, together with the kind of things we've been talking about tonight. We just need to be running propaganda from the other side, really.
Well, indeed, we have to start learning how to make it ourselves. And they're all basic compounds, and they're all buyable. Like, you know, we may not be able to buy them from England, but I believe we can buy them from other countries quite easily. Like, so it's a matter of everybody just becoming familiar with the techniques involved. There's enough information there on the MMS wiki site to enable anyone to actually make the stuff, like with just the compounds itself, like, you know, with all the basic compounds, it shows you how to make it. It's quite easy. All you got to do is just lose the fear and invest in a couple of little bits and pieces, a few beakers and a few measuring bits and pieces, and you're away with it. And a few storage containers, of course. You need storage containers, like you need bottles that you can seal and stuff and keep sealed. So there's a small bit of investment, but at the end of the day, I believe it should be easy for us to be able to provide this medicine free in our local communities.
Which is really great. It doesn't sound like a sensible thing for them to be trying to stop. We've got Unique Lee's come up with a question for you guys. Dot's coming on. Dot's slot will be on after Dr. Rock, so we'll need to be finishing up at midnight. I want to play a couple of tunes, so this will probably be the final question. Unique Lee's asking, what's the data on MMS helping vascular dementia? Do we know about any effects this might have, not only, I guess, on that, but on other dementia-related problems?
Well, you will get a protocol list on the actual website of jimhumble.biz or .org, depending on what part of the world you can actually get the website, and it comes under Alzheimer's disease. It's a mixture of a couple of protocols, and if no progress, it will give you actually more protocols on it. So it will, your dementia will come under Alzheimer's disease, Lee, under the mmswiki.is. That's all meant to be on the site.
I'm not actually seeing one basically specifically for Alzheimer's, but...
You won't see one for dementia because there's so many different dementia-related illnesses, but it all falls under Alzheimer's.
Right, okay. I'll tell you what, I'm going to stick that link for the Genesis 2 Church into the chat box, just for people. I think it's quite an educational site, really, and I highly recommend it.
As well. Yeah, totally agree with you, Jimmy, and I've stuck the link on as well for the Alzheimer's protocols.
Excellent.
Okay. Excellent. That's right. So I'll just remind people that are either listening to the pod or are listening outside the chat box for some peculiar reason. Jimmy's link is, if you put genesis2church.is, so genesis2church.is, that takes you to an interesting site. And the other one, which has got all the information that Jimmy's been talking about, is mmswiki.is. If you put /index.php, it'll make sure it takes you to the right one. And I think that brings us to just about the end of the chatty bit for another show. Thanks very much to both of you for being there and joining me. I really enjoyed that conversation and found it most educational. I'm quite excited about MMS myself now.
good. Yeah, me too.
I think
it's an absolutely great thing, and every household should have it, really.
Well, I think a friend of mine north of the border is going to send me some, and in the meantime, I'll look about how to make it.
I sure am. I'm going to send you some shortly. It's already ordered for you, so.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that. And like I say, I'll post myself up to Scotland sometime in the sunny summer months. And come and thank Sam for fixing your headphones and lift a beer, hopefully, with you and Pat.
Oh, definitely. You'll be more than welcome, absolutely welcome at any time. The Sovereign Door is always open for anyone.
Brilliant. Just as long as they don't unplug the radio station whilst I'm up there. It was a bit hair-raising last time. So that's very good. Thanks to both of my guests. I guess thanks to RTE as well for really reminding me of just how powerful the television is as a weapon of mass distraction. And I will try and put in the link for the BBC hit piece as well before I leave tonight, because that one's really good. It's got a bit about NLP, like I say, and he gives the best piece of advice that anybody could give, which is stop watching the television. And I'm going to play the last but one track, well actually both of the last tracks of her for Laurie, but this one's from Lone Star. It's called Women Rule the World, and I'll be back with you next week. Thanks to you all for being there. Don't forget Dot Slot coming up after the Witching Hour. Yay! Somebody else on as well as Dr. Rock. And thanks to you, Jimmy and Laurie. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Doctor, and great to share the air with you, Laurie. Thank you.
Thank you as well, Jimmy. Great information shared. Thanks very much, Nick, for inviting me.
No problem. Women rule the world. You're amongst them, mate.
You sure do.